On behalf of Mars Hill Church, we want to extend a welcome to each and every one that has come to be with us here today. We hope that we have come to be joined together and assembled together in one accord. We find in the Scriptures where what we call the day of Pentecost, when Christ's disciples were gathered together in one accord, it talks about how that the Spirit came and overwhelmed them. And that's what we desire today, that we might be overcome by the holy presence of an almighty God, that our hearts and minds might be enlightened and we might be made to know and understand that we have a Savior, we have a Redeemer, that we have one who has paid the debt that we could not pay, that we might come this day and sit down in little heavenly places here and rejoice together in the glorious and wonderful completed work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should remember always, not just in this season of the year, but always remember that it was because that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ left the realms of glory, came into this world and was born of woman, grew up, lived here, taught his people, his disciples, the way wherein we should walk, gave his life on Calvary's cross, lay in the tomb in our stead, and arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. This is the Savior that we should remember every day of our lives and rejoice in the fact that he loved us with so great a love that he would do all the things that he has for us, that we might have the abundant mercies and the bounties of life that we have today. We welcome you to Mars Hill Church and hope and pray that the Lord will abundantly bless you while you're here. Remember Sister Shirley's brother, he's nearing death door, and just pray for that family that they might be anointed with the Lord's Holy Spirit and he might send comfort and peace to be in their midst. Do we have any other prayer requests this morning? Sister Edna? Anybody else? If not, our arrangements this morning is for Brother Willis Lee to come in the opening, be followed by Brother Johnny Lee, and closed by myself. Ask that you be in prayer for these brethren as they come before you, that the Lord may truly take them and anoint them and use them to the fullness of the gift that he has bestowed upon them, that his glorious gospel might be preached and that his name might be glorified here in our midst. Come on.
Brother Jimmy said, he just found out there. Their granddaughter, Abby, been in a wreck. How bad it is, to try to remember. Good to see everybody this morning. I'd like to stay. Tracy and Lisa couldn't come today. They had to leave this morning to go back to Atlanta. They came yesterday. And it's real refreshing to see Tracy here. I came by this morning and talked to him for a minute. He was real upbeat. Told me about how much he enjoyed coming yesterday, what it meant to him. We see by this, the Lord still performs miracles. But I think Brother Carl said back in April and May when we were going down to the hospital every day, I didn't ever think he'd ever leave that hospital. Yeah. It was bad, and most of the doctors told us that he probably would never leave it, but they didn't give us any hope. It just goes to show us that the Lord still performs miracles. It's good to see everybody here today. It's when you come in a place like this, it's not that we're any different than anybody that's sitting up there in the audience, because we've all got a duty and a responsibility if the Lord has called us to come. But I think Brother Clark and Brother Johnny will agree with me. And I'm sure a lot of the lay members, brother and sister, feel the same way. It's a joy and a pleasure to see the young people and the children come. Because that is the future of the church. The church is going to stand, because at the best, we don't have very many years left. And it's just a blessing that the Lord has turned the people to come. Brother Eugene will witness this. When we started coming here, it looked like, and he told me this, it looked like they were going to have to close the door. And now look what a turnout we have. But it's all by the blessing of the Lord. It's not nothing that we've done. But I don't want to keep rambling. The hymn on my mind, the offering. Somebody can say the 10, well then we'll, after we sing it, we'll try to come down and call on the Lord. Number 140. I'll line the first two lines and then just sing on through. Resolving thus, I entered in, but trembling and depressed.
Pray. holy device of sword. We come before you one more time, O gracious Lord, to beg you to pour your mercy out on us. For we have no blessings of our own, O gracious Lord, except to beg for your mercy. And O gracious Lord, we beg you to be with us, little church, and the neighborhood, O gracious Lord, round about. And if it be thy will, O Lord, to send an increase, if there be some poor soul lying around the pool that is yearning for a home, make it where they can come, O gracious Lord, to give them relief. And, oh, Lord, keep this little church here, if it be thy will, O Lord, for poor troubled souls that has for such lying around. For it is nothing that we do, O gracious Lord, but it's all the glory and honor belong to you. And, oh, Lord, we beg you to be with the sister service, brother, oh, Lord, and if whatever it is thy will, oh, Lord, to comfort him. And if it be thy will to restore him, if not, to take his soul home to live with thee, oh, gracious Lord, and be with sister Edna, oh, gracious Lord, and comfort her and guide her, oh, Lord, oh, gracious Lord. And be with Brother Jim's family, oh, and Sister Carol, oh, gracious Lord. And be with the little girl, oh, Lord, oh, gracious Lord. They have had so many trials and troubles. Just be with them and comfort them, oh, gracious Lord, if it be thy will. And, oh, Lord, if it be thy will to be with my son-in-law, Tracy, just comfort him, oh, gracious Lord. And even if it be thy will, and if not, just comfort him, oh, gracious Lord. And, oh, Lord, we beg you to be with Brandine, oh, gracious Lord, and comfort him, and be with whatever is thy will, oh, Lord, just let us accept him and make him willing to it. And all the others, oh, Lord, that haven't been mentioned that are on the sick beds and lying around, oh, Lord, have mercy on them, have mercy. And give them comfort, oh, gracious Lord. And we beg you, oh, Lord, to be with all of our children and all our families, oh, Lord, and be with this little country, oh, gracious Lord, and be with our leaders, oh, Lord, oh, gracious Lord, that we might, that our purpose in life, or that our freedom to worship thee, oh, gracious Lord, will be kept, and not be destroyed. For it gives us all that comfort, oh, gracious Lord, to be able to go and worship thee. And be, O gracious Lord, that all the ones that are serving in this country, O gracious Lord, and protect our shore from the tyrant's hand. And, O Lord, we just want to give you thanks for all the many blessings that you have gave us, and forgive us for all the many places we have failed. We ask for these blessings in your darling Son Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to talk to you this morning, if the Lord will. At the book of Romans, chapter 11. Anybody got their Bible? You want to turn and read some of it? Maybe the Lord will bless us. Bless you to talk about. Romans was written by Paul. We'll start at the first, read a little bit. Chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto them? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, even so that at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it in the rest of time. Part of the children of Israel were called by the election of grace. My Lord had done it, but he blinded the rest of them that they couldn't see. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. When Christ come, when he was born, the Jews would not accept him. Because the Lord had blinded their eyes, that they could not see him and could not believe. And when that happened, Christ turned to the Gentiles. But for through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. For Paul tells you in his writing somewhere that he was sent to preach to the Gentiles. If by any means I may provoke to emulation that which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For the casting away of the Jews was a reconciling of the world, that he might save the Gentiles. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted of men among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. The olive tree is a type of Christ, the root and the offspring of David. And the Gentiles were grafted in. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. The children of Israel were broken off from the olive tree because they didn't believe, because of their unbelief. For if God spared not thee natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on thee which fail. Severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. God was able to break them off, he would be able to bring them back and graft them back in. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature to a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That you should not be ignorant of this mystery. lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's the mystery that the Lord made them blind, that they couldn't see, where they would not accept the Jesus Christ. And in doing that, the Lord turned to the Gentiles. And so all Israel shall be saved, it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. That was the Lord's covenant unto Israel. He told them that they were his people and he would save them. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. The children of Israel were enemies for they were enemies toward the Gentiles, and so the Lord would call the Gentiles. But they were still, the children of Israel were still loved by Jesus, by the Lord, because he promised them that they were his people and they would be saved. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For God is able to call you into his realm without you having repentance. It is his call and not ours. For as ye in times have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. At this point in time when Christ come, the Gentiles were a dark nation and they did not believe in the Lord. That's what he said. As ye in time past have not believed God, yet now you have obtained mercy through their unbelief. The Gentiles were obtained mercy through, but because the children of Israel had refused the Lord, refused Jesus Christ. Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. For they were all in unbelief at one time, but the Lord had mercy upon them all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Or who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counsel? For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counsel? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Said, but I have a pretty good mind of my own, I should say, to fix things like I want it to be. That this is going to happen, or that's going to happen, or so and so is coming to the church, or that person is, he's in a lot of trouble, and his tribulation there will call him to come. But the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. He's got a plan for every person that he's going to call to the church, and we have no way of figuring it out. There is no way for us to know what the Lord is going to do. because it is not for the carnal mind to see. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counsel? Who hath been his counsel? Who hath known the mind of the Lord? The Lord does. The Lord said, I will have my way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And he also said about Jacob and Esau, I will love whom I love, and I will hate whom I hate. And I will have mercy on him whom I will have mercy, and I will not have mercy on him that I do not. For nobody knows the mind of the Lord. We don't know what's going to happen. Or we don't know how he's going to make it happen. We know that the end of time is coming, and he has told us what an awful time it's going to be. He tells you that in Revelation, that there's going to be an end of time. There's an angel that'll come and stand on one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and swear by him that liveth forever, that time will be no more. We know that there is a time coming. And we know that we're going to have to face judgment. But we don't know how the Lord's going to do it, or when he's going to do it, or who he's going to save before then, or who he's not going to save. Because it's all of the Lord and it's not of us. And it's not for us to know. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For you see, he blinded the children of Israel to bring the Gentiles in, to save the Gentiles. That's how we were brought in. If we've been brought in, that's how he done it. was by letting his own people. Not believe in Jesus Christ. And we just have no way of knowing what is going to happen or how it's going to happen. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Everything that is going to be done or has been done is done by the Lord. Nothing that man has done or will do. And all the glory, it should be given to him as a garment hung upon a nail. Give no glory to the man, because me or no other man can do anything that will say or do anything that will do you any good. Except if you praise us. We'll get the big head and it'll displease the Lord, because that's human nature. We all ought to be bragged on. Oh, you've done a good job, or you've been a real good person and all that. But it don't take long for that to swell your head, or it don't me. But you give it all to the Lord and beg for his mercy. Because he said his name, he was a jealous God, his name was jealous. And if you withdraw from him, he will withdraw from you. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Whatever's come is come and gone. I don't want to take you for a time any longer. I would like to thank everybody for coming. And I hope I haven't said anything that offends anybody. But if the scripture won't back it up, bring it back to me, because I wouldn't want you to have it. It wouldn't do anybody any good. Come on, brother.
Good to once again be with the Lord's people, and I believe we are. Brother Willis mentioned a minute ago how that we prefigure things. We see the way that things are the way they should be, and we try to make them be that way. I have a confession. There's a poor man that's just deceased that I loved as I've never loved very many people in my life. And one time when we were together with a group of other people singing the praises to God and the Father, it was something overcome me. And I started crying, I couldn't quit. And I guess I cried for the first 100 miles on the way home. And finally, I told my wife, I said, there's something about that man. And I said, I have a feeling that I want him to sing as I'm on my way to the grave. But, well, he has just died and I'm still here. But I believe he's sung on the way to the grave because I have heard him sing many times. And he's raised his voice in tune and sweet melody to the Lord. And as we were both on our way to the grave, he has preached many, he has preached through the song many times. And I didn't know how unified the word was. But he told me a couple of times I went to see him. And he said, Brother Johnny, I didn't know you. He said, I knew you the first time I saw you. I just did not know what to call you. And ever since that time, we have had a glorious feeling from bosom to bosom, and the man is now gone. Brother Willis mentioned too, he says sometimes that we see things and we try to make it happen. In the book of John, John the Evangelist, there was something that we've read many times and it's before my mind this morning, but it seemed to think that made a new tape. They were two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they had a brother. And he was sick. And they sought the Savior, then knowing in their heart that if he was to come, that he could save the brother. But if you want to turn to the 11th chapter of John, the thing that's really on my mind so much is start at the 29th chapter, maybe even the 28th. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then were with her at the house and comforted her. When they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And said, where have you laid him? They said unto the Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, and caused that even this man could not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave with a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, by this time he stinketh, for he's been there for 4 days. And this is where the divine supper that the man was dead. And Jesus Christ had come to this place. And they knew that the Spirit was with him. And he had the power to heal and raise the dead. But the thing crossed my mind this morning, until that time the Savior had not been here. And then went about the 4 days. And he stinketh there. There were 4,000 years before the Savior come to this world. And they had nobody to remove those sins and remove the sin from this body. But when he come, and he loved them all so well, and he said, I'll roll back the stone. And at that time, the stony hearts that we have in our chest, they were rolled back. And the Savior said, Lazarus, come forth. He said to the Father, he said, thou knowest, I know that thou knowest all things, and I see all things. But it was sacred then the same body. I said again, Lazarus, come forth.
and the matter of the one, and he come from the grave, and he was wrapped with a cloth, with the great cloth on, and he said, loose him and let him go. And when he come back, and he went that day, living down to the house, I believe. Whatever it is, the thing that appeared when the Savior come, he is not just a New Testament Savior. He said he wrote the name in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world, and so therefore he knew each one, even those in the Old Testament who had never come and walked before the Savior and knew him not, but he knew them, and he had to bring them from the grave and had to take the dead, the grave clothes off them. The grave clothes, what is that? That is the flesh that we have and we live in every day. But when he removes the flesh out of the way and he purifies the heart from the will, he removes that stone from the heart. From that point on, he has touched our heart, and they can sense the grave. They no longer live in the grave, and they no longer have the grave clothes. But they're traveling into life. I'm talking to the precious brother. He's present today, but I'll not name. But he told me a few days ago. He said, I used to go around with these people, and I love them, he said. And now I have this precious friend, this precious brother. He said, I hold him around, and he had such a good time. And he said, I thought I was having a good time. But he said, I did not have a good time until such time as I come in, and I could feel that thing, because his grave clothes had been moved, and the stone had been rolled away, and the sweetness of his grave had come into his heart and soul, and touched and regenerated his heart there. And he says, from this day forth, he says, I've had such a magnificent time that I cannot even put it into words. It's amazing. This book is so small, but yet it's so full. I believe the further of the heart, as I say oftentimes, I believe that the pages in this book would reach from the very foundation of the world to wrap it around, and to the very end, I'll be able to do that to before the people of the Lord Almighty God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has come to redeem all of His people, not just the ones that's in the New Testament, but those that live from the very foundation of the world. And they will be, and they will be redeemed, and when the time comes, they will be in the resting place with Him, singing praises to He, the Father, the majesty of His grace, the first one to the last one. And I believe they'll be singing in unison. I thank you kindness and patience with you. Maybe the Lord will continue to bless this place of each one that has come here in the mind, the desire to come here. We might have to leave in a few minutes. If we do, please bear with us. We have a long trip to go. Maybe the Lord will bless us to get there. But we'll stay as long as we can.
Show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in In the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When I read this scripture this morning, begin to think about how in that time when Christ was here in this world, the law church, as we know and understand, the law church was a well-established mechanism. It had all of its rites and rituals, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees ruled in the synagogues, but the Pharisees, it was like me. A lot of times, I get hung up in the letter, and I forget to look beyond the letter to that which is written between the lines, we call it, but the hidden mystery that is behind that. The Sadducees and the Pharisees also, historically, had figured out that they could take the law and they could take it apart word by word, and then they could make rules out of it that suited them and not necessarily what the Lord intended when he gave them those rules to go by. You don't have no trouble with that, do you? Well, I do. Quite often, in fact, I find myself fixing things like I would have them to be. But I am so thankful. You're supportive. That he won't let me have my way. And I am so thankful that he comes from time to time and reveals himself unto me again and brings me back to remembrance of who he truly is, he being our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the thing that struck me when I read this morning was he talked to these Pharisees and Sadducees when they came and questioned him, and he gave them their answer, but he didn't hang around with them. He went on his way. And you know, when we go somewhere and we're wrapped up in the letter of the law, we're not going to find any pleasure there. We're not going to get the taste of honey from the rock. You know, we're not going to feel the love and the sweetness because we're hung up in the ritual, in the rites and the rules and the regimens that we set up for ourselves. When all that God has required of us is obedience. All that he has required of us is that we put him first. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, what does making rules have to do with putting God before you? Something before God. Well, some of the rules I make kind of takes God out of the picture. And when you do that, you put something else in front of him, haven't you? So, what Christ was telling the Pharisees is that it's not the letter of the law that gives you salvation. I, himself, Christ Jesus, was the salvation that was brought here to this earth. And because, as you heard earlier, he had blinded their eyes and they could not see, and he turned unto the Gentiles, but he opened their eyes and he gave them understanding that they may see and know and understand who he was. He did the same thing for us. We was just like them Pharisees until we was born again. We had our own rules and we had our own laws and we had it all figured out. Just like we wanted it to be because it suited the ways of the flesh, and we could justify ourselves by our own works here in this world. But I'm telling you this morning, when you come to the place and when you know and understand and you see God and you see Jesus Christ hanging on the cross there and giving his life and see him hanging there and pleading, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, then you come to a different place and you come to an understanding. And that it is not your way that'll do you any good. And it is not your way that can save you. And it is not your own works that can produce salvation. If you have any good works, it is not because you have gone, but not because you were able to save yourself. It is because that God has wrought a work of salvation in your heart already. And he's given you to understand that now you are to be in his service. And about the good work of Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior here in this world. And now when he goes on now, and he talks about the bread there, and surely, surely, we can understand that this morning, that it was not the bread of life he was talking about, and the natural bread that you eat, and it was not the natural things he was talking about, and it is not the natural things that he's talking about to us today. It is the spiritual things, those things which have life eternal, and surely, surely, that is what Christ Jesus is unto us. He is the bread of life, and he is alive, eternal, and he is with God the Father today, and we are yet here in this old wilderness world, walking about and going about daily, trying to walk in the way he has laid down for us to walk here in this world. Therefore, let us lay aside the cares of this world and be thankful unto him and rejoice in the blessing of salvation while we live here. And then he said, and then his disciples understood that he bade them to not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Oh, what is doctrine is that? They are not in existence today. Oh, they very much alive. And don't you never doubt it. There is a doctrine going about in this land today that would have you to say that there is no Jesus Christ, that there is no Savior, that there is no Son of God. This is the doctrine that he's talking about. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Surely, surely, when we turn aside from following after the Lord and believing in him, we shall fall in sin and destruction there. So take the truth as it is written and recorded in God's holy word, and believe it with all your heart, and read and study this word. Because if you don't read and study, you don't know what's in it. And when the Pharisee comes with his bad doctrine, that which is leavened with the leaven of the world and is all puffed up with the ways of the flesh, but you won't know the difference in that and the true bread of life, except you have read the word and he has given you understanding. Therefore, be about your work here in this world to keep up with the testimony that is true and right
as it is in Christ Jesus. And oh, you know what? When that happens, and when we are blessed to do that, then we can be like His disciples. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and from this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he charged his disciples that he should not tell any man that he was Jesus the Christ. You know what? He revealed unto them himself, and that's what he's done unto us when he brought salvation into our lives. He revealed himself unto us that we might know that he is Jesus the Christ. And he did forewarn us that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are still going to be here tempting us to turn away from following after him. But you can rest assured, as long as you, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. What rock is that? He said, Christ is the foundation stone, the head of the corner, which the builders rejected there. But then all he also talked about when he built the temple there, and there were 12 foundation stones laid there. And the foundation of the temple was laid, and the temple was built upon that. Are not those 12 atop of the apostles, the 12 apostles that Christ Jesus called to be to set up the church here in the world? Are they not they the foundation stones upon which the church was built, having been empowered by the Holy Ghost and given grace from God Almighty? These doctrines were laid down that we have today, and that is what we can rejoice in, that there was a foundation stone, that there was a head of the corner. And you know what? It tells about the beauty of those stones that was laid in the foundation. And you know what? Many times when we go to the place, you don't see the foundation. We got it covered up here. But this foundation is exposed that all might see it. And it was exposed on the cross at Calvary when our Lord hung there and gave His life on our stand. That's the most beautiful foundation stone you'll ever look upon. And I hope and pray for each and every one that if you have not seen that stone, the time will come when you shall. And it shall give to you life eternal. Because one sweet day, all of God's people, the whole temple of God, the foundation stone, and all those rooms within, the place that He has gone to prepare for us in heaven and immortal glory, that glorious temple we shall dwell in forever. Heaven and immortal glory. There we shall see our Savior. There we shall see God the Father, who hath wrought such a wonderful work in this world to bring salvation unto poor sinners. What a great and glorious God we have. And how thankful we should be for the great and abundant mercy and compassion that He has had upon His people here in this world to provide a way of salvation unto us, that we might rejoice together and have salvation while we live here in this world. And we might enjoy the benefits. Bear fruit because the seed growing has been planted within our bosom. He is a good fruit tree. We're just the kind recipients of it. But we too, having been planted in Christ Jesus, should be the bearers of good fruit by our good works in following after our Lord and our Savior. May God bless you, is my prayer. Any announcements, brother?
we've got the association minutes is on the table, and there's plenty for everybody, and there's more also. This coming Wednesday night at 6 o'clock is our annual get-together here at Mars Hill for Christmas. And everybody, Mars Hill, friends, anybody is certainly invited to be here with us. The New Year's Eve thing will be on December 31st here at Mars Hill from 7 o'clock until the New Year gets here, Lord willing. And everybody certainly is invited to be here. Supper will be at 9, so those that can cook are certainly encouraged to do that, to exercise their craft and put it on display before all the attendees.
That's right.
I think that's all.
Did you announce about Big Creek?
No, Big Creek, this coming Saturday night, Big Creek meets at 6 o'clock for their annual Christmas sing and supper, starting at about 6 o'clock and sing and then eat supper pretty quick after that, and I'm sure that they would appreciate cooks helping them out too.
Thanks, brother.
Glad to help,
Ken.
Any other
supper, I'm in favor of.
You want to tell him, Bob?
Karen tells me that granddaughter Abby is not hurt bad, but her car didn't fare too well.
So she's okay. Not,
she's okay.
Thank the Lord.
We can praise replace the car.
Amen.
But life is the work of the hand of God Almighty.
Amen.
We can't keep that. If y'all will, turn to number 210. My book's open there about three times this weekend, I reckon. Just for the same. 210. We'll offer this for a closing hymn and say to the congregation, the church's door is open to receive members if there was any here that felt like this was your church home. You've been led here by the Spirit of the Lord to come and walk in faith with His people, then let it be known, church. We gladly wait upon you. Out with the Savior's precious blood, thy church of God has on the rocks accused. have lunch out in the dining room as soon as we dismiss. Brother Jimmy, seemed like my mind was attached.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for all your many blessings and tender mercies. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this privilege, Lord, that we have to come out and feast from your table. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord, that each one that came, Lord, would receive a blessing and be glad that it came to the house of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the report of my granddaughter, Lord, that she is all right. Heavenly Father, we so many things, Lord, that you do for us that we just take for granted. Heavenly Father, help us to be thankful. Help us to always realize, dear God, that every good and perfect gift is from above.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this great country that you have blessed us with. Lord, we just pray that you would keep your hand on our leaders, Lord, that they might lead us in ways that you would have us led. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we pray for our enemies. We pray, Lord, that you would protect our shores from all intruders. Heavenly Father, be with our armed forces, Lord, wherever they may be this morning, away from home, Lord, during this season. Heavenly Father, just bless them and help them to realize, Lord, that you are still in control of everything.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of season. Help us, Lord, to realize that it's not just another commercial holiday. Heavenly Father, help us to realize that it's when mankind will receive the greatest gift that anyone could. Heavenly Father, now we go our separate ways. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over us, guard, guide, and protect us, and bring us back at the next appointed time. And forgive us, O God, of all the many places where we fail. I ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Y'all retire out to the dining room. We'll have lunch.